Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for listening to another special episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the writer, the producer, and the host of this show. Tonight, we have a returning guest with us, Mr. Alan Wright, who, like his great-grandmother, grandmother, and mother, have been able to sense and receive messages from those who have passed on in life. At an early age, Mr. Wright had no idea why he felt a little different than his peers in school and could not quite understand his abilities. However, that was until his grandfather passed in the early 80s, and he was able to make contact with him through what is called astral projection. His experience in visiting him was much more than just a dream vision. His ability brought him to a place that appeared beautiful and perfect. As Mr. Wright began to age, he noticed that his abilities to sense and be contacted by the deceased had been getting stronger. His experiences with apparitions, who appear to be the strongest, presents messages and share with him what they feel to be important. During our first interview, Mr. Wright was able to channel my deceased father by bringing in accurate messages and information only known to myself and to my family. In fact, just a few minutes ago, when Mr. Wright and I had another conversation, my father did decide he wanted to come through again, and not only did he come through, he passed between Mr. Wright and myself, where we decided to start comparing notes on the sensations that we were feeling and sensing and validating messages that were brought to him, as in Mr. Wright. Mr. Wright has a remarkable talent. He and his wife channel together, which creates an important psychic connection and dynamic. Mr. and Mrs. Wright cannot just call up a deceased loved one at just any point in time. In fact, my father came through at this time because there is a lot of events going on in my family. Mr. Wright and his wife together make their attempts to allow spirits to come through each of them. Mr. Wright is also a healer and has several books on Amazon. Tonight we talk about his latest book, My Destination for the Truth, and in just a moment we will meet Mr. Wright. And of course, before we begin our interview, let me share with you once again that Maynard and Mildred have hit the airwaves loud and clear. This comedy involving two young kids has been launched on Amazon or can be purchased directly through me on my website, www.paranormaluniversalpress.com. This dynamic duo has patiently waited 2 years to make their big debut worldwide, putting together a combined illustrated book and audio CD featuring 22 of their best segments, as heard on my show. Let's take a moment to hear the promotional jingle, shall we?
Oopsie!
How rude!
I'm Maynard.
And I'm Mildred. And we are
the Maynard and Mildred Show! She's a ghost.
No, I'm not. You just can't see me. I'm invisible.
She gets me in trouble all the time.
I could follow you, Maynard, to the end of the universe.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Enjoy the show!
Oh, mercy. Well, this illustrated book audio CD is suitable for young and adult audiences alike. Again, to order directly from my website, go to www.paranormaluniversalpress.com, and once you get into this site, the jingle will play. Scroll down to where you see the book CD combination and simply order. Write me if you have questions at krschutz1@yahoo.com. That's krschutz1@yahoo.com. Well, now back to our returning feature guest, Mr. Alan Wright. Welcome back, Alan.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Sure, no problem. Say, are we still Skyping from the same place that we did last time? Where are you at? What state?
We're in Utah, and yes, we're Skyping from here.
Okay, so we have nicer weather during this interview. How's your weather out there?
Really good. Really, it was 81 degrees yesterday, so it was really good.
Oh, are you guys prone to tornadoes or anything like that?
No, not so much tornadoes. We get rainstorms and stuff like that, thunderstorms, and they can get pretty high winds and stuff, but yeah, no tornadoes or anything like that.
Okay. So I don't want to forget about this because usually we get into our discussions and we run out of time. So basically we're going to, we'll probably run out of time today. What I want you to do right now is mention to everyone where we can find your books. I mean, today we're talking about, I think it's called, what, My Destination for the Truth, is that right?
Yes, that's my fourth book. That's the one I just wrote at the beginning of this year.
Okay.
Or it was published then.
And where can we get that and some of your other books?
Okay, I sell all my books through Amazon.com. So you go to Amazon.com/ author / write W-R-I-G-H-T Allen, A-L-A-N. And you can purchase my books there.
Okay.
When you do that, it comes up to a page. All my books are there, and you can just click on the links and stuff and buy them right there.
Okay. Do you have a website, or would you rather just have people go to Amazon.com?
Amazon.com would be the best for my books. If you want to read a little bit about some of the radio shows I've done and stuff like that, you could go to my website, though. And that's at Koala Widget. That's KOALAWEDGIT dot simple site, SIMPLESITE .com. And it will come up on my website. I got, like I said, my radio shows there, some pictures of me. Promotional pictures and pictures of my books and stuff.
Okay. Are you also on Facebook?
Yes, I am. Okay. I really don't know my Facebook address, but just run a search on Facebook for Alan Wright, and you'll come up, and you can't miss it. I'm an author, and it will come up as me being an author, and there will be a picture of me. Probably the same one that's on the back of my books and stuff.
Okay.
You can't miss it.
All right. Thank you. So, and listeners, if you want to as well, if you want to download this segment that we have tonight, you can do it two ways. You can go to my website, which is in Podomatic, and it's a long one. It's www.krschutz1, KRSCHUTZ1, Paranormal Encounters, that's all on one word, .podomatic.com, or you could go to, if you're listening on the ParaX Radio Network, this is much more easier, I think. Go to www.para-x.com. What you do is you go up to the archives link. And then once you're on that and you tap on that, you're going to see Paranormal Encounters podcast series. Then all you do is just go there and click on that. That'll bring you into my Podomatic site, and then you can download Alan's segment for free. So consider that. We have really good shows here, so take advantage of listening opportunities. Alrighty then. So let's begin, Alan. Let's see. Question one. I think for those listeners who are not able to listen in last time, I thought maybe it might just be a good place to start with your telling us a little bit about when you discovered you had the ability to understand and receive messages from those who have passed over.
Well, I was born with these abilities. I was born in Phoenix, Arizona in 1949, but I really didn't realize that I had the ability to pick up on spirits and stuff until I was in school. And then I had to kind of keep it quiet because I realized then I wasn't normal. And kids can be mean, and they can tease you or whatever. But as I got older, my abilities became stronger. Right now, it seems like I can pick up on spirits quite easily. I have spirits around me all the time.
Okay. Can you, so when spirits come to you and you feel like you can pick up on them, what does it, most people, you know, there's cues. Some people feel certain things. Some people feel touched. What kinds of, do you get images that come to you? Do they touch you? What do they do, Alan?
Yeah, usually when a spirit comes close to me, I start getting goosebumps. And the closer he gets to me or she gets to me, I get more goosebumps and almost the chills. And then an image will come into my mind, or sometimes several images, and that's the spirit letting me know that that's what they want to convey to whoever I'm talking to or whatever. But that's the way they do it with me. My wife is also a sensitive and a passive medium. With her, it's different. She says she feels them touching her and poking her, like they're trying to get her attention.
Hmm.
But with me, it's different.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I was talking with Alan just a little earlier about how I don't, for myself, and I have them hanging around me, but not often can I pick up some immediate cues. Sometimes there's visual cues is what I pick up on because I'm very good with my observation. But I was telling Alan before the show that I've had one situation where I was in bed and I actually felt touched by something, and it's a very light, swipey kind of touch. And that kind of made me mad because, you know, when you're sleeping and you're trying to get rest and all that, and then you have things touching you and you can feel it, and you don't know who's around you anyway, I just told whoever the apparition was that, you know, to just leave me alone and not do that again, and they haven't. So it's kind of interesting how sometimes it takes different cues to be noticed. One of the things, Alan, you talked about was astral projection. And some people are familiar with it, some people are not. Can you explain a little bit about what astral projection is?
Astral projection is being able to go to another place, another realm, another level of the universe in spirit form. Your body stays to wherever it was. Usually it's in a sleep state, and your spirit travels to that other realm. Now with me, I went to a place where there was no time, and I really didn't know how long I was there. I could have been there a week, I could have been there a month, I could have been there a year, because they don't have time there. They have no use for it. But when I woke up in the morning, they brought me back to my time, which is really good. But the things that happened to me when I was there, they gave me information and knowledge and stuff. And those bits and pieces of knowledge I've been getting clarified to me as I get older.
Interesting. You know, I one of the things that has been a big topic of discussion lately has been just simply consciousness. Would you say that when you're referring to astral projection, do you think that that is your consciousness leaving your body and going to places and then coming back? Is that how you would refer to that?
Absolutely. That's what it is. When you're there, you feel like you do when you have your body. The only difference is you don't have your body. You're in spirit form.
Hmm.
So, but you have everything. It's your consciousness. So, yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, interesting. Well, let's do a little bit of a haunted update here. So I'm going to start with the haunted update. So yesterday, I went to this little town, and I would, and for those of you who are familiar with Indiana, the place is Metamora, and it's down in southern Indiana. And we went through this little town, and I found it really, really interesting because we walked by, they're like some really, it's like a town, and they've all created themselves to be kind of like a tourist location. So you've got all these regular homes turned into shops and stuff like that, and they're all very dilapidated. So we walked past this one building, and I saw on the window, warning, paranormal activity has been known to be inside and outside this building, blah, blah, blah. And of course, you know that caught my attention. And so I thought, well, why don't you just go ahead and show me that this is actually true. Of course, during the daytime, a lot of times, and ghosts can be active day or night. Sometimes it's easier at night because of the energy field being a little bit stronger. But so I went and I turned on my ghost equipment that talks to me. And I just went next door to a place that there's one of the original owners that started this place years ago was in there getting her things ready for the tourist season. And of course I have my little voice thing on, and out from it screams hello. And of course I didn't want to startle the shopkeeper, so I put my phone down beneath my hip. And of course it's rattling on with, you know, all kinds of words and stuff that actually made a lot of sense. And I really don't know who or what or who that was, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was some apparition from one of those two buildings coming through. But, you know, it's just, you just don't want to startle people with your ghost equipment, you know, while you're standing there. But that's my little haunted ghost update. Alan, have you had any ghost haunted experiences or updates lately? Like, did you not say you had one or two apparitions in your house?
Yes, we do. At least two. They're kind of benign. They don't do any, you know, mean stuff to us, but what they do, they're kind of playful. They'll turn off our porch lights, you know, like the front porch or the back porch, they turn off our kitchen light, you know, or turn it on. And so, yeah, there's two of them. There was an elderly gentleman that died in this apartment, so we kind of figure it's him. Plus, there's somebody else here with him. I don't know who it.
Interesting. So you said, did you say that an elderly gentleman? Oh, Alan, I think I'm losing you to some ghostly apparition here. Come back, Alan.
Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you. So Alan and I had also discussed this at the beginning of the show, that we're having a little bit of ghostly activity going on here today. So if he goes out and you can't hear him, that's just our friendly apparition. I wonder, Alan, who, if it's on your end or mine. Any idea?
Well, I had a little feeling of a spirit coming close to me then, but then it backed away, and that's when you said you could hear me again. So I don't know who it is, but apparently they're quite strong. They're strong enough to interrupt our communication, so...
Yeah. And I don't usually have this happen, listeners. We usually don't have breaks like this. So if it continues to happen, I'm going to point it out. So I was asking you, Alan, was this an elderly apparition in your house that likes to hang around?
Yeah, he was an elderly man, and he died in this place. He rented this apartment. I guess he was here for quite a few years, and... anyway, when we came here, they were still cleaning his things out of the apartment.
Yeah.
I kind of got a feeling when we moved in that he was upset about that, too. Mm-hmm. He didn't want his stuff disturbed.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing. So let's move into my destination for the truth. And again, that's found on Amazon under Alan Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. And one of your first chapters discusses old souls, old spirits. So could you talk or elaborate a little bit on this for our listeners on what you mean by that?
Well, spirits have different ages just like people do here on Earth. If you have a chance to see a spirit, they can portray themselves to whatever age they want to be or whatever they think you want them to be. But there's spirits in where I went to see my grandfather. They stay there and they help their family members to come to Earth, receive their physical bodies, and they might stay behind to help family members.
Alan, come back to me.
Lost you again?
Yep, one more time. So keep going, Alan, keep going.
Well, anyway, when it's their time to come to Earth to receive their physical body, their spirit is actually older than the ones that might be around them in their family. And we pick up on it and we say that they're old souls or old spirits, but they're usually people that's, they love animals. They're into conservation programs for the earth and for the animals. They have a great love for the earth. They know how to live, but they don't like it when people are trashing the earth and stuff, because they know that what we have here is very special and that we should take care of it. But I've got a nephew that comes, he's an old soul, a very old soul, and he comes across as an old man to me, but he's only about 9 years old now, so anyway, that's what I meant by that.
Yeah, well, I find that interesting anyway, old souls. I always consider myself and my husband to be old souls. I don't know why. I mean, I always look at my husband like he's an old man anyway, but I'm sure he'd appreciate that comment. Boy, I hope he doesn't listen to this show. But, you know, I do have a question, because this one does come up once in a while, and it has happened to me. It's regarding that picture or that the images I shot and photographed in that screen window of my great-great-grandparents' home. And the little girl, she came across looking around maybe 5 or 6 years old, and the man that was hovered above her, he looked like he was in his, in his older 60s, I guess. But technically, the little girl, who I believe I figured out who that is, she passed at the age of 10 in another house, but came to this one. And the man hovered above her, I believe, was her dad, who passed in that house. And he was around the age of 78. So do you have any theories or ideas as to why apparitions will show themselves to be younger than they had passed away from?
I think it's spirits enjoy certain times in their life, physical life. And that was probably a good time for her at that age. And that's probably the reason why she's presenting herself at that age and in that house. You know, they have favorite places where maybe where they were raised, or maybe where they spent the last years of their life, you know. And so they go back to those places. I don't see anything too bad about it. I don't think many people know that, though. This is all things that was told to me when I went and saw my grandfather in that astral projection. And I was told many, many things about him and about things that happen here on this earth and stuff. But spirits, they can present themselves to be whatever they want to be. I told you earlier before the show, there's no distance to them. They can be someplace thousands of miles away and then be by your side in an instant. So there's nothing that refrains them from doing that stuff.
Yeah, my Al and I were talking about my father, and as we were sitting here, now keep in mind I'm in Indiana, he's in Utah, and my father has never been down to Indiana in his physical life or body, and ever, and so I find it kind of amazing. But yes, I mean, as he and I were talking, my father was actually going in between us and sharing messages. For me, what has happened on my side is I would feel the goosebumps and the coldness and the breeze around my body. And for Alan, he would probably, what were you picking up on, images or visions?
Yeah, I first off, I got goosebumps, and it was a little bit cooler here.
Yeah.
And then I picked up that picture that I told you about in my mind.
Yeah.
I thought it was a statue, but you corrected me.
Yeah.
As to what it was.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, how painful it is for families to start disassembling their properties and stuff like that, and it can be very upsetting to an apparition, especially if they had a real great love for a property or and the things that they had. And what we were talking about actually was a pump that looked like a statue, and I know exactly which one he saw in his mind. It looks like something that could be a statue, and that there's a little bit of, I don't know, bitterness going on right now, upsetness going on, especially my dad does come for visits once in a while, and he came through, and for all we know, this is why we have gaps in our show right now. It could be him going between us, and then that just cuts it out a little bit. Alan, let's talk a little bit about animal spirits, because a lot of people love their pets and they treat them like family members, and for most of us, they are family members. So when pets pass away, do you feel they have a spirit, and do you believe that they come back and hang around?
Oh, yeah, they have spirits just like we do. First off, everything on this earth has a spirit. Even the earth itself, when it was created, has a spirit also. Now, the American Indians, and there's a...
Come back to me, Alan. We'll get him back in a second. Come back, Alan.
Are you there now?
Yep, Indian spirit. That's where you left off.
Well, they believe the earth has a spirit also. So that means trees have spirits, all the plants, insects, everything has spirits. And so do our animals, our pets that we love. And when they leave, their spirits leave their bodies, and they go to wherever they go to. And when we die, if we lived our lives the way that we should live our lives, our pets will go be with us, and we will continue to be with our pets. I know this to be true. I in my book, I have dedicated my book also to the animal spirits that was sitting around me when I wrote my book, and I know this to be true. So if you lose your pet, just be sorrowful, because you're not going to be able to see him again probably until you pass, but I'm sure that animal's going to be there when you pass to help you along also.
Yeah, it's interesting. My four-year-old niece had an experience the day after their beloved dog died or passed away, and she was in the bathroom, and she was doing her business, and she saw a dog peek into the door, and she recognized it to be their family dog pet, and she had tried to summons it to come to her. Of course, she was sitting on the you know what, but the thing is, the dog wouldn't come to her. It just kind of looked at her, and then it turned, and she saw its tail like wag away going into the kitchen. My brother saw a tail go around the corner later that day, unless he was in, of course, people are wondering if they're in trauma and or hallucinating, but they, you know, he claimed he saw the tail just barely, you know, going into the to the living room. And then my mother had shared an experience where she was lying in bed and she felt the family dog that had passed away nudge her hand. So, you know, there's all kinds of things that can happen with pets. And I don't know, one of the theories I think is that, Alan, would you agree that maybe pets just sometimes they hang around just to make sure that everybody seems to be okay before they ultimately leave and maybe not return? What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I believe they do. I had a little Chihuahua, and he was with me for 7 years. He died. He had a growth in his heart, and he died. But he went with me every place. He did everything with me. And when he passed, I saw him. I heard him. He was around me still. I heard his little footsteps and stuff. And finally, after about a month of this, I finally told him, I called him by name, and I told him that I was all right and that he can go into the light now. And I told him, I said, go to the light. And you know, after that, I have felt his spirit around me a couple times, but after that, I never saw him again, and I don't hear him anymore, but I just feel his little spirit next to me once in a while.
Interesting. So you have a chapter here on where did we come from, and I'm going to have you kind of just take the ball here for a moment. I need to step into the other room for just a second, but I'd want you to tell our listeners, if you can tell us what your chapter's about on where did we come from.
Okay, first off, we live forever. Our spirits live forever. When we die, that's not the end of it. It goes on continuously. Our spirits will live forever in different levels of heaven or whatever. We will go on. Now, if this life is eternal, then we came from someplace. And that place that we came from, I call the premortal. And we came when we were ready. This place prepares us to come to this earth and to receive our physical bodies. This earth life is like a test, if you will. It helps us to choose right things. It helps us use our free will. It does a lot of things. Then when we leave this life, our spirits are stronger. And I was told this on that that astral projection that I went on when I went and saw my grandfather that time. But we all live forever. This life is not just all of it. Are you there, Kelly?
Oh, I'm here. I was just trying to figure out. So, I mean, the basis here is that when we die, our energy doesn't die, right?
No. Even scientists will tell you that you cannot destroy energy. Our spirits are energy. Now, the scientists will say you can change energy into something else, but you cannot destroy it. And that's exactly what our spirits are. It's energy. And when we die, we move on to another realm, if you will. There's different levels of what I call heaven, good places. I know there's at least 9 of those different levels. Each level up is better than the one below. I also know there's different levels of hell, if you want to call it hell. It's not good. But even those people or spirits that's in this place can better themselves over time. It might take a long time.
Come back to me, Alan. Come back. I'm here.
Okay.
So it may take a long time, but what, people can move up to different levels?
Yes, they can move up as long as they improve. The whole thing that I gathered when I was on that astral projection was, it's knowledge. It's knowledge of good and evil. It's knowledge of science. It's knowledge of everything. And the more knowledge you have, the better you will be in the world to come.
Hmm.
if you can become a doctor.
Keep going. Keep going. Come back to me. We certainly... Nope. There you go.
I don't understand what's causing that.
Well, we talked before the program that, and he even, I just want to tell people here, we talked before the program that we might have a few visitors today, and I was kind of, keep in mind, my machine, my equipment does not do this. So, you know, usually when Alan's in the middle of something important, they always want to interrupt and then block him out. Well, I'm not going to let that happen here. So, the one thing I have a question on, Alan, about moving up to different levels, so if there's an apparition hanging around Earth, and you know, like the one yesterday that whoever it was screaming out hello from my device or whatever, are they already on a level, or have they not even achieved becoming to get onto a level yet?
Well, that's exactly right. They haven't achieved to move on to another level. Or there's things that they want to finish here. They probably made the choice to stay here at this level. It's a earthly level, but it's not a physical level. It's a spiritual level, and it's through the veil. That's the reason why my first book, Through the Veil and Back, is basically it. It's like a veil going through the veil. And now they can talk to us like you and I talked about, and we can talk to them pretty much, but most of the time we can't see them. They can probably see us better than we can see them. But yeah, they're there for some reason, and I don't know why. I wasn't told that, by the way, when I went. I don't know why. There's a lot of things that happens on the other side of the veil that I don't know about. I know the levels of heaven or levels of hell is more of a permanent thing, but this earthly thing where there are ghosts and all this stuff and the veil, that's more of a temporary thing. I don't know. I know the veil's becoming thinner, and I don't know why. I don't know if it means anything. But most mediums will probably tell you that the veil is getting thinner. I feel things now more than I did before, and that's because the veil is getting closer and thinner. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, when you mean closer and thinner, people are going to ask, oh my God, what's happening out there? What do you mean by closer and thinner?
Well, it's just as time goes by, everything has an end in this physical life. We come to an end, the earth is going to come to an end, but it's going to be like reborn again after it goes through that process of dying, just like we do when we die. And when it comes back again, or just before its death, is what I'm talking about, this veil. And I think it has more to do with the earth than with us. I think the earth is probably closer to, I don't want to get everybody upset.
Yeah, don't cause a whole thing. I could just see people clearing out the store shelves tomorrow, you know?
Yeah, well, we're not talking, you know, tomorrow or next year, you know, 20 years. But it is coming to an end. And when that happens, of course, then there won't be a veil. There won't be a veil.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what I meant by that.
So let's talk a little bit about, well, yes, and again, the earth is not coming to an end right now, everybody, so just hold your horses. Good Lord. I think you know, there's so many theories on it. If you watch television and stuff, everyone's got their theory on, some people project 100 million years. Some people project 100 years. I mean, it's just, how the heck would any of us know, right? We're not going to be here to know. So
nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Even me. All I know, all I can say is what I see and what I feel, you know. And I feel the veil coming closer, and I feel it becoming thinner. Yeah. That's all I can say on that.
So when you talk about another chapter he writes about in his book is ghost magnets. Now, of course, I always refer to myself as a ghost magnet. Like yesterday when we went to that little town that's all dilapidated homes and shops and stuff, but very fascinating. It's, if you want to call it like a ghost town, that would be probably suited. But, you know, these houses are not being repaired. They just look, you know, they turned into shops. Well, as my husband always knows, I always say, well, if there's a ghost around, I know because I'm a ghost magnet. Now, what do you mean by ghost magnet, Alan?
Well, pretty much that's it. You know, spirits know when someone is a sensitive, and they also know that when somebody can is a medium, and they can talk to those people in a way, like myself. Spirits know that if they get close to me, they can convey to me things that they want me to tell somebody that I'm talking to or whatever. We had that happen before the show with your dad.
Yeah.
And these spirits, I told you, I'm got spirits around me all the time. I know this, and I'm a magnet for that. And those, all those mediums like that, and yourself, you're a ghost magnet, and they collect around you. And that's because they know that you can transfer us back and forth between the veil, and that's basically what you're doing.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm not as good as you. I'm not as good as you, and I'm not as good as some. I mean, I find some of I'm going to say you guys, I find it very, very interesting and remarkable because for myself, I guess I go by observational cues, and like I said, I just recently was touched a few months ago, so of course that made me a little bit mad because, you know, it's just not a matter of being touched. It's just the matter of principle of when they're touching you. And the thing is I haven't been marked yet that I know of by an apparition like some are on some of these shows with some very intense energies around them. I don't even want to be around an intense negative energy or something that can mark a person. But, you know, I've been in situations where I'm surprised I haven't had a heart attack with some of what we've, you know, my husband and I have gone through in some of these haunted places. But yeah, I do know that if there's a ghost around the area in one way or another, it will let me know by the time we're done with that area. When you talk about taking a drive out to the desert, what do you mean by that?
I know what chapter you're talking about there. As a teenager, I got my car, my first car. Of course, I was dating and stuff. And it seems like all teenagers has a place where they can go and make out with their girlfriends or whatever, a lover's lane, if you will. And living in Phoenix, the only place you could go would be out in the desert someplace, you know. And we had a place, it was a little trail off from another road, and it wasn't marked very well, so you had to be very careful and to make that corner and go on this dirt trail out back to where this lover's lane was and park. You know, you could look at the stars because it was dark out there and stuff, and that's what we did. And that's what I meant by that. The desert is a great place for looking at the stars and for kissing your girlfriend, I guess.
I think the desert can also be a haunted place, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I know that one night when I went there, my girlfriend and I, we saw beings or people moving between the desert shrubs and trees that was out there. I think there was just two of them, but they were what I call shadow people.
Mm-hmm.
They were dark. You couldn't see through them. Some of the shadow people, you can see, they're opaque. you can see through them, but you can still tell they're shadow people. But these shadow people, you could not see through them, and they were moving quite rapidly between the trees and stuff. I had somebody ask me if I thought they were going to attack me or whatever, you know. No, I didn't have that fear of that. It looked like they were just spying on us and just watching us for whatever reason. But we packed up and we got out of there pretty quickly after that.
Yeah, you know, if I was out in the middle of the desert seeing that, you'd probably see the dirt hit pretty tall there. Because I don't know. I don't think most people have we have curiosity, but I think when it comes down to having something that obvious in front of us, I think the human emotion of fear jumps in and all of a sudden takes over. Like when you're talking about how you didn't have any fear. So the other night, my husband and I, of course, we've been sleeping on an air mattress because our house is empty because we're moving. So we're waiting for that final minute to depart Indiana. But anyway, I was looking up on the ceiling and I kept seeing this black shadow move across the ceiling. And then sometimes it would move rapidly and sometimes it would move slowly. And it was just, and I just stared at it wondering what on earth attached to me or followed me or what on earth is that, and why don't I feel fear of it right now? Well, interestingly enough, my husband rolled over and he clocked me in the face with his elbow, and so much for that idea. It was his elbow that was on the ceiling, and he moves it while he sleeps, and then all of a sudden it's almost like someone had to bonk me just to let me know that it wasn't a shadow person, it was actually his elbow. But have you ever had, Alan, have you ever seen any shadow figures in places you've been or your house? And does that bother you at all?
Well, yeah, my wife and I used to live in a haunted house, and we saw just about everything in that house. My wife was the one that saw the shadow people first, and they were in the hallway. And what they would do would go back and forth between the walls and the hallway, and they would go into the wall. And this frightened her quite a bit, and it frightened me too. But there again, they didn't try to attack us or anything like that. They were just moving back and forth, and it looked like they were trying to see what we were doing, you know. I kind of got the feeling that they thought that was their house and not ours, you know. But yeah, we had a lot of experiences in that house. I had a thing that kind of attacked me. I called it a banshee. When I slept at night, it would come up and rush me and just scream in my ear and would wake me out of a sound sleep. And the only thing I could call it was a banshee. I could tell it was female, had long skinny arms and fingers and long fingernails, and had skinny legs, and it had a pointed nose and a real long skinny face on it too, and scraggly hair. It looked maybe like a witch, but the way it screamed, I called it a banshee. It would just scream at the top of its lungs and wake me up. And sometimes it would do it two or three times a night. So I blessed the house, and I had a friend come over and help me bless it. And we were able to get rid of the shadow people and the banshee, but we did not get rid of the shadow people. We got rid of the banshee. And there was another evil presence in the house where when I came home, there was these big, fat, disgusting flies, hundreds of them, in the windowsills of the kitchen and the living room. And I would have to kill them with a fly swatter because we had dogs and I didn't want to spray poison. And anyway, that was disgusting. I had to do that for about 2 weeks every night when I came home from work. And after we took care of the flies, when we were watching television, we would see flies flying up from the floor up through the light of the TV, and I thought there was more of them, but it wasn't. That was their ghosts, their spirits. I told you, everything has spirits. Well, those flies had spirits also, And they were flying up past the screen of the TV, and we could see them. I was going to try to hit one once and kill it, but that didn't work because it was a ghost.
Oh, ghost fly, so, huh?
Yeah, ghost fly.
You know, my friend from Canada, hopefully she's listening because she'll know exactly what you're talking about. She went out to South Dakota to a cabin, and she and her mother are relatively sensitive, and she had an experience with a lot of flies in her kitchen one day. And long story short, she photographed, which is also in one of my books, she photographed a picture, but she didn't know it at the time. How she came to know it was she was doing some artwork for me for my books, and she decided to go back to look at some of her pictures from a year ago. And by the way, listeners, if you think you photographed something or maybe didn't, go back a year later and then take a look at your pictures again, because sometimes the images will show up then. And I can't explain why that is. I just know that there's been many accounts of that. And so anyway, she gave me this picture because she thought she saw something in it, and I blew it up and I put it through like 100 different filters, and sure shooting, no pun intended because he was a cowboy, but a cowboy image. You could see the hat, you could see kind of the shape of the face, you could see the vest. It was in her window, and it was very oddly, like, it's almost like the place was cold in there and it needed to form its image, but plain as day. And so that's in my book too. But she had an episode with flies, but this guy wasn't dangerous, but they just felt like the place, there was something not, you know, like haunted about it. But to this day, we were discussing flies and what they might mean. And you have any ideas? Do you think flies, Alan, are more negative energy, or what do you think flies represent?
I really do believe that flies represents like an evil presence in the house. I don't know what kind of evil presence, but I think it's something that's probably pretty ancient, and I don't know. It could have been something that was conjured up, you know. I don't know, but it's not a nice thing. It's something that you would not want in your house, thus the flies. I know the flies themselves, I don't think that were even native to Arizona or to Phoenix. They look like blowflies or whatever. They were those big, fat, disgusting flies.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, I know it. So if you guys have flies in your house, you know, think twice, I guess. Well, Alan, as usual, you know, it's amazing how fast time gets away from us. I could talk to you for hours. Another great interview. Are there any final words you want to share with our audience tonight, especially about your book or anything that you want to hone in on here?
Well, my destination for the truth is my journey for the truth during my lifetime. My wife says it's my best book, and I know she tells the truth. So, yeah, buy it and see for yourself. Anyway.
All right. Well, as usual, very interesting. Yes, everyone, go to Amazon.com, and you should, he's got his other books other than My Destination for the Truth. You should be able to purchase, four books you have on Amazon, Alan?
Yes, I have four books in English. I have one in Spanish.
Ooh, Spanish.
Through the Veil and Back was also translated in Spanish. I'm writing my fifth book right now. It should be out probably in a couple months.
Okay. Well, everyone, stay tuned for that one, too. Well, thanks for being on the show, Alan.
Thank you, Kelly. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yep, and I've always, again, as a return guest, we always thank you for your time, and we find you very fascinating. And tonight, this will conclude our interview this evening. And again, stay tuned, everyone, for another great episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series to launch probably once I get my move in order in the next few weeks. So thank you, everybody, and good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books, searching under Paranormal Encounters. Thanks for listening. Take care. And until next time,
be careful what you wish for.
The script, vocal talent, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, or Para-X Radio Network. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, Para-X Radio Network, or its sponsors. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.